Joining us right now to help break all of this down is Democratic strategist Nicole Brenner Schmitz. Nicole, how are you on this Wednesday morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we appreciate it. Let me ask you, have you gotten any sleep since the polls closed last night?
I snuck in a couple hours.
All right. That is good to hear. What are we looking at across the nation right now as votes continue to be tallied across America?
Yeah. I mean, here's what we're looking at. We're looking at a situation where we're watching a few key Senate races, particularly Nevada and Georgia. We're watching as a lot of House seats are coming back in. The good news is democracy is working. We have an awesome system in a lot of states where folks can mail in those ballots, and we're going to be diligent and count all those votes. We saw Democrats fight off what was declared to be a red wave. It was going to be their time, and they were going to win all the things. And it turns out Democrats had a good night down ballot, too. They've got new trifectas in places like Michigan and Minnesota and Maryland, flipping some state legislatures and keeping some key gubernatorial mansions. Looks like we're going to have some excellent secretaries of state. So it's a good day for the Democrats, even if we potentially don't keep control of the House in this, kind of history-making midterm.
And I understand that. I'm looking at the breakdown right now, Nicole, of the Senate race, and that is still sitting at 48-48, correct?
Correct.
All right, yes. So that's sitting at 48-48, and the Democrats, they're the only party in the Senate that has earned a pickup, and that pickup, that flip, was Pennsylvania, right?
That's correct. John Fetterman was successful in Pennsylvania, picked that seat up. We're trying to defend Mark Kelly in Arizona and Catherine Cortez Masto in Nevada. But, Georgia, you got to break that 50% threshold. But Democrats, well, we've worked hard on it, and, it's a hard-fought election. We were always prepared for this to possibly go to a runoff on December 6th. So we're going to keep counting all the votes and see how the chips lie, and then if we need to go to a runoff, go do that, because you know what? 2 years ago, we did it, and we won in Georgia.
Yeah, and there was that win when it was, when Biden took it. So I'm looking at Ohio's breakdown right now, and would you say from a Democratic strategist point of view that it was closer or more separated between J.D. Vance and Tim Ryan?
I mean, it was closer, I think, than a lot of people expected. I mean, the reality is that there wasn't the same sort of national infrastructure or money that went into Ohio. We saw Marcy Kaptur hold her seat. We see Amelia Sykes there. So it wasn't a red complete wave there, but certainly Ohio has become redder over the past few years, and Tim Ryan did a great race in Democrats' opinion, focusing on the workers and the economy, and perhaps if maybe a little more enthusiasm from the national Democrats and a little more funding could have changed that game a little bit, but it didn't, and that's where the chips fall. But you've got an awesome senator in Sherrod Brown, so you guys will be filled with commercial ads again in the next cycle.
yeah, there's going to be a lot of commercial ads. I'm just thankful that it's done. I don't have to watch any more of these ads. I don't have to see any more signs out in my neighbor's yards. I'm seeing, though, that Georgia, because that 50% threshold has not been hit between Warnock and Walker, there's going to be a runoff, most likely.
Yeah, most likely on December 6th, we'll be having that runoff. So the people of Georgia, not off yet from all of those signs and ads. But, I mean, look, this is going to be a really important seat. But the interesting thing will be, is this the seat that we're fighting for that determines majority, or is it Democrats having already established the majority and this would be one more within it? So I think that changes the dynamic of the runoff a lot.
Yeah, that dynamic is important, as you state there. Well, the runoff, it'll only be the top two candidates. So they're not going to have that independent in the runoff, right? I understand the point of having the independents, the libertarians, but it hurts. It hurts, some of the votes, because he took almost 2.5%, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It changes the dynamic. And we see this in lots of places. There's usually a Libertarian that runs at about 4% in Montana statewide. This happens in Georgia. So it's a dynamic. But because in the South they have that 50% threshold or you go to a runoff, it shifts it up a lot. People can't win outright with 48%.
Yeah, well, man, this is going to be a tight one there with that runoff. And that could take up to a month then before a date is even set for that runoff, correct, in Georgia?
It's going to be on December 6th.
Oh, okay. So they did announce that. I must have missed that.
Yeah. So we've got the date. We just need start understanding what the rest of the country looks like and what this dynamic is, and keep communicating with the folks of Georgia about what kind of agenda they want America to have, and if, you know, the Republicans have taken the House at that point, do they want a balance? Do they want to make sure we've got a party on both sides of the Capitol there?
Nicole, I do want to ask you a question. I'm seeing that, in my opinion, I know people are going to disagree with it, I feel as though a Trump endorsement isn't the be-all, end-all anymore, because 9 of the candidates who Trump endorsed, they won their races, but in retrospect, 8 of them lost their races. So is a Trump endorsement really that top-tier former presidential endorsement that many people would expect?
Well, I think it's not, and I think this is something the Republican Party is now grappling with internally. It really was this seen as this endorsement that you absolutely had to go get to be successful. And now I think they're taking a look around and thinking maybe that's not the case, and he's got the investigation at Mar-a-Lago, and he's always just keeping the attention on himself and doesn't seem to be actually doing things that's for the good of the whole party. You've got Ron DeSantis that's chomping at the bit to get in there. So the Republicans are going to have an internal conversation with themselves and decide what kind of power do they want this former president to continue to have, because they let it be a stranglehold over their party.
Well, I know here in Ohio, I can't speak on any of the other states, but I know here in Ohio, a Trump endorsement was, you know, huge. You know, I mean, people, you know, J.D. Vance, you know, he was a pro-Trump conservative. Josh Mandel, a pro-Trump conservative. And people kept saying to me, Jordan, why do these Republicans keep associating themselves with Donald Trump? And I said, well, you got to understand, there was this cult of MAGA Republicans who they still believe that Donald Trump is the acting president of the United States of America, and they're going to vote for whoever associates his name with them.
That is absolutely correct. I think privately there's a lot of elected Republicans who are cheering even the ability to have this conversation because they do want to sort of take some of that power back within the party. And, you know, there's kind of, I call them the factor of more chamber Republicans versus the MAGA Republicans, and there's a friction there. And I think this is a time for their party to take a beat and see where they want to go.
Yeah, well, this is something that we are going to continue to follow. Nicole, we appreciate you you breaking all this down. Where is that one race, if you don't mind, that won't be determined until like Friday? 99% of the vote should be in on Friday. Do you know off the top of your head?
Well, it's looking like Nevada is going to take a long time to count all the ballots. So I think we're going to be waiting on Nevada a little bit. And then I think there's going to be a couple races, House races in California that are going to take quite some time because they're really close and it's going to be all those mail-in ballots.
Well, I'll tell you this. In Ohio, our election officials, they know how to hold an election because we don't hold up an election. We get our votes in and we get that stuff counted most of the way throughout the morning after.
Yep. In some states, you can't start counting until the polls close.
Yeah. That's very true. Very true. Nicole, we appreciate you coming on. We hope you have a great day and hope you get some sleep. I know you're going to be following this election very closely as votes continue to roll in. You have a good one.
You too. Thanks so much.